What'd you think? Now, why? I mean, obviously, no doubt who the toughest guy on the staff is. The guy who they dish everything out on, right? Because everybody knows how they got robbed. But that's a whole other story. Why would we go to these lengths to talk about the core values? How, can anybody here name all 10 core values? Okay, this is why we're doing this, all right? This is good. Can anybody name the first one? To connect others to Jesus. Absolutely. Now listen, these are like kind of like guidelines, kind of like boundaries. And so the reason we teach this every January is because God has made sure in His Word that we understand what it means to be a properly functioning church. So let me tell you this. The Big Five, not a Hillview thing. The core values, not a Hillview thing. They're a Bible thing. So we're going to kind of go through, we're going to talk about these. And what I'm going to do for about 22 more minutes is we're just going to run through them real quick. I'm going to share them with you, but we're going to look at some scriptures behind them. And I want you to know, because every once in a while, we just need a little bit of a wake-up call. Amen? Now let me hear you. Amen? I feel like we just need to get everybody get up and run around the worship center a couple times. Now listen. I got my wake-up call because I told my wife that I wanted something special in the new year. And we're having this conversation. And I told her I want something that goes from 0 to 203 seconds. And so she handed me a scale. And, you know, we just take that kind of abuse. But, you know, it's a wake-up call nonetheless. And so we're going to begin in 1 Thessalonians. Now we ask you, brothers, to respect those who work hard among you, who are over you in the Lord and who admonish you. Hold them in the highest regard in love because of their work. Live in peace with each other. And we urge you, brothers, warn those who are idle. Encourage the timid. Help the weak. Be patient with everyone. Make sure that nobody pays back wrong for wrong, but always tries to be kind to each other and to everyone else. Be joyful always. Pray continually. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Do not put out the Spirit's fire. Do not treat prophecies with contempt. Test everything. Hold on to good and avoid every kind of evil. And listen to this. May God Himself, the God of peace, sanctify you through and through. May your whole spirit, soul, and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. The one who calls you is faithful, and He will do it. Now, those are incredible words found in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 12 to the end of the chapter. Incredible words. And I want to kind of go into that passage to set us up for our core values. You know, the very first thing is to connect others to Jesus. I mean, I really believe of all the things that we're called to do while we're here as believers, there is only one thing that we will not be able to do once we get to heaven. And that is to share Jesus with others. So our first core value is to connect others to Jesus. I want you to know the most effective way this works. The most effective way that this works is that you are able to articulate what God has done in your life. That's what people want to know. They want to know, what has God done in your life? They don't care what God's done in my life. They don't care what God's done in Pastor Steve's life. They want to know, what has God done in your life? They already love you. They already trust you. And they just want to know, what does Jesus mean to you? So, you know, we kind of have a rare privilege here. Most churches don't practice baptism the way that we do. And here's what I mean by that. At our church, and you've seen it if you've been here long enough, if you have been significant enough in somebody's spiritual walk, and they come to Christ, and they so desire, you can baptize them. Now that is a pretty incredible thing. Just out of curiosity, how many of you have ever, anybody here ever got to baptize somebody? Just raise your hand. All right. Man, it's a powerful thing. It's a powerful thing. And I probably take it for granted until this past Christmas Eve when I had the privilege of baptizing my boys. And it was kind of like, hey, I'm not up here because I'm the pastor. I'm up here because I'm daddy. And man, that was a cool thing. But I want to tell you something, and I want to warn you about getting into baptismal waters with people. It's absolutely addictive. Because once you've been in the waters with somebody, you're going to want to be in the waters again with somebody else. That you've had that kind of an impact on their life. And so here we are. And so this whole deal is about you and I connecting people to Jesus. Now, you know what's awesome about God's story? We use the terminology connecting people to Jesus, but it's always Jesus connecting with us. It's always Jesus doing that connecting. But the reality is that he is willing to use you. Everybody look at me. He's willing to use you. And some of you are sitting there and saying, excuse me, you don't know me. I don't need to know you. All I need to know is that God has created you. And if you're a follower of Jesus, he desires to use you to be connected to other people. And we've got to be faithful with that. I mean, every person in your life is an assignment from God. Does everybody hear that? Every person in your life is an assignment from God. And I always love to say, because I don't know about you, but I got some people in my life that I'd rather him assign to somebody else. But they've been assigned to me. And nobody else is going to be judged on their faithfulness to that person, but I am. Now listen, this isn't a guilt trip tonight. I don't want you to leave feeling bad. Oh, the world's going to hell because of me. Tonight is a night to own up to these things that God has told us. Now, what we've done at Hillview is kind of framed them in these things that we call the core values. And the one thing that we highly value here is connecting people to Jesus. And so one of the things I love is I do the welcome on Sundays. And I love to, you know, to sometimes report, hey, last Sunday, 7 people gave their lives to Christ. Or in Wednesday night ministries, you know, 12 people gave their lives to Christ. You know what I love at Hillview? You know what the people do? Y'all look at me like, they get excited. They get real happy and clap. People get excited and we clap and we cheer because that is praiseworthy that God has saved somebody. And so, you know what? That's our assignment here. A lot of you, the reason you come on Wednesday night, I know you don't come to hear me. I know you work on the weekends. And so you're doomed to come and have to listen to the short, muscular preacher. All right? I understand that. And you know what? There's a lot of other people that they work on the weekends. We could pack this place out on a Wednesday night. And I promise you, we'll never pack it out because I'm preaching. Because I've been preaching for a while on Wednesday night. We haven't packed it out. But you know why we'd pack it out? Because you all are telling people what Jesus means to your life. Because you all are telling people what Jesus has done in your life. And people want to know about that. And so some of you will share, man, God has totally healed our marriage. And people are going to be like, your marriage? And you're like, yeah, God healed that. And you know, and there's a lot of other people and their marriages are in need of healing. And there's other people who are struggling with addiction and other people who are struggling with lostness and people who are struggling with wanting to know more about who this Jesus is. And so our number one core value here is to connect people to Jesus. And we've got to be faithful with that. And we've got to be faithful here on Wednesday night. We've got to be faithful with that. But I really want to encourage you. The way we're going to be faithful is to simply tell people what Jesus means to us. Now, I used to do these things at churches where we had a 16-week training course on how to share your faith. And it was like a 10-page outline. And we had like 100 people come the first night and like 7 come the second night. You know, are you with me? And you don't need all that. You need to know what Jesus has done in your life. That Jesus truly is the Son of God. That he died on the cross. That he rose again 3 days later. And that he can forgive your sin because he was perfect. And his blood was shed on the cross so that our sin could be forgiven. Now that's a really cool deal. That's one of the things I love about Christianity. If you study all the major world religions, you're going to love Christianity. Because it's about the only one that's going to tell you the truth. You know what I mean by that? Because the rest of the world religions say, if you'll do these 7 things, or these 9 things, or these 12 things, or these 462 things, then you can go to heaven. But you know what? You can't. You can't. How good do you have to be for a God who's perfect? You got to be perfect. But in Christianity, God is willing to make you perfect through the blood of his Son. And that's incredible. That everything I've done, thought, everything can be forgiven. And I'm going to tell you, if there's something the world resonates with, it's a need for forgiveness. connect others to Jesus. The whole story of the gospel is Jesus connecting with us. Second core value, to experience the biblical story. Have you read this story? Have you read the Bible? Man, this is a dangerous book. There's no romance novel that has more love than this. There's no drama that has more action than this. There's no story ever been written that has a greater hero than this book. And when we say experience the biblical story, here's what we mean. This is a story of redemption. I mean, it's an incredible story that you and I don't get what we deserve. I mean, how awesome is that? That here's all this that I deserve, but God gives me good things. That's called grace and mercy. What a God. And so when we say experience a biblical story, we're talking about a story of redemption. But you know what? It's a story of healing. And I don't care who you are in need of healing. Because all of us are crazy. Amen? Look around. And we're all in need of healing. Man, we've all got quirks. And if you don't think you have a quirk, that's your quirk. That's it. But we're all in need of healing. And when we say experience a biblical story, we are saying to experience the healing that God wants to give you. And people ask all the time, so, I mean, do you mean physical? Yeah. Emotional? Yeah. I mean, whatever kind of healing that God wants to give, it is there. And so, you know what? Just don't just know the story. Don't just come here and be a spectator, but experience this biblical story. I mean, I remember a time there was somebody in my life and I had, you know, about 27 reasons why, you know, I didn't care for them. You have anybody like that in your life? No, that's your quirk. Okay. And so we all have people like that in our lives. And so, like, you know, I come to this place where, you know, I'm like, God, I need you to heal me of all the horrible things this person has done in my life. And so, God, if you'll just do that healing, that'd be a great thing. And, you know, maybe you can really rock their boat, God. I think personally, I just think that will help them. Because, you know, I was concerned for them. So, God, if you just rock their world a little bit, God, I think that'll make them closer to you and that'll be good. You ever pray like that? You're lying. You're lying. And God wants to offer healing. So guess what the healing that comes into my life in that situation? God begins to show me the 27 things that I had done in that deal. And that's not what I was praying for. I just wanted to be healed. And guess what? I couldn't be healed if I didn't take ownership of my part. And that's part of healing. You know what? I can only control me, and I don't do that very well. But I surely can't control anybody else. So guess what? Some people aren't going to like you. What can you do about that? Hallmark doesn't make a card that'll fix that. You know? I'm just, you know, sorry you don't like me. Open and there's a flower. I mean, you know, come on. I mean, there's nothing I can do. Some of you here don't like me. And there's nothing I can do about that. I can stay up all night and worry about it. I could lose sleep over it, right? I can just fret and just worry and spend my day saying, why don't they like me? And some of us do that. And I just remember, you know, I love when people come to my office and tell me that. And I just say, get over it. There's nothing you can do about them. All you can do is something about you. Somebody once said, you know, here's why we don't pray so that God changes. We pray so that we change. And so to experience a biblical story is to experience the healing that God wants to bring to your life. And you know how God brings that to your life? Through the ownership of your issues. Now, I say that in love. Some of you sitting there and you're getting offended. I don't have issues. Well, this is for everybody else. Do we take ownership of those things in our lives? That's the only way you're going to find healing. Man, I went through this horrible breakup in college. It was awful. It was bad. She hated me. Her family hated me. It was awful. And I remember one time we were sitting there and she was really upset. Man, I'd been dealing with this for about a year and she just said some really horrific things. And I just said, you know what? I just want you to know I take 100% responsibility for everything. And she was like, it's about time. And I said, no, seriously, I take 100% responsibility for everything. And me and God are dealing with it like that. And I told her, I said, but can I tell you something? Until you take responsibility, you'll never be healed. And so we have to do that. That's part of the biblical story. That's why we call it repentance. You know what it means to repent? It means to turn, like, you know, 180 degrees from where we were going, to repent. Say, God, I'm living this life, but now I'm going to live this life. And it doesn't mean that we don't stop and we don't look back sometimes, or maybe we don't start to turn because we're human. We're going to struggle. But repentance means I'm not living like that anymore. I'm going to begin to live this way. I'm going to turn from those things. And that's how we experience healing. So experiencing the biblical story, it's a story of redemption. It's a story of healing. And it's a story of service. God has called you to action. You're supposed, like, if you, you know, people ask me all the time, I feel like, you know, I've been a healer for a while now. I feel like I'm supposed to be doing something. And I always say, you are. And they always say, what? And I always say, I don't know. But you're supposed to be doing something. You are part of the body. What if a part of your body just didn't work? There'd be a problem, right? And we could pick out various parts and have a lot of fun with that tonight, but we won't. But just imagine that some part of your body is not working. It affects the entire body. And so my feet decide, I'm not moving anymore. And I say, I don't care what you do. I'm just going on my way. Where am I going? It doesn't work. And so we are part of the body of Christ. So we experience His redemption. We experience His healing. And then we experience serving for His glory. And so every one of us have been called to serve. And then let me throw this in there. If you are sitting here tonight and you know you are not serving, and after tonight you feel compelled, I should be serving, just call me. I don't know what you should be doing, but I've got about 12,000 jobs that I could tell you about, and you can pick one, and you can do that one. But you're supposed to be serving. We're part of the body. We're in this together. We're in this together. Everybody with me? Everybody say, all right. Pretty good. Okay, the third core value is to honor God and His church. Now, this is always a tough one. And I think I really tried to cover this last week. You have imperfect pastors. Raise your hand if you understand that. You have imperfect pastors. And I know a lot of you are thinking, well, Jamie, you're awfully close to perfect. I appreciate it. But the truth is, I am imperfect also. We are all imperfect. So your leadership is imperfect. But remember from last week what I said? So when you're trusting the leadership of your church, who are you really trusting? God. Because every wrong, He will make right. And you can trust that. You can take that to the bank because that's God. And then I have to say this. Everybody look at me. And God doesn't need your help righting the wrongs. Just pray. God, I think this is wrong. I've prayed that a lot. God, I don't like this. I think this is wrong. You know, God almost always showed me. Well, let's just move along. So honor God and His church. I'm not going into it tonight, but Acts chapter 2 is an incredible picture of how this church should function. Of how God set it all up. So that every need would be met. So that we would be faithful to honor God and His church. To love and care for people. Fourth one, moving on. To love and care for people. John 13:35 says, they will know are we His... Everybody with me? They will know we are His disciples if we... I love it. Like just pockets. Love. They will know that we are His disciples if we love one another. In 1 John, 11 times we are told to love one another. I mean to love one another. Do you know what that means, to love one another? That means you smell each other's stink. And some of you are like, that is rude. We are in church. You can only smell somebody's stink if you're close to them. That's why I love all these newlyweds after their first couple of weeks of marriage. I remember one time this poor girl just coming and just crying, you know, and she was upset. Been married like 3 weeks, and I said, you know, honey, what's wrong? She's like, he makes sounds. And I'm like, what do you mean? She goes, in the bathroom. Listen, y'all are laughing. This girl's crying. I was like... Mm-hmm. She's like, and the bathroom stinks. And she's distraught. She's like, if he pulls the covers over my head after he does that one more time, I can't do this anymore. And I just remember looking at my wife and said, now, honey, now listen, that's a joke. You're getting it in waves. That's good. That's good. But you know what? That's not just a picture of marriage, because God compared the church to marriage. It ought to be that way. You know, people are like, I just hate church. Everybody knows your business. They should. The problem is most of us are ashamed of our business and we don't want people to know our business. But it ought to be that way. You know what? Somebody ought to know if you're hurting so that the body can comfort one another. That's what this is about. That's what it means to be the body of Christ. That's what it means to be family. And some of you are here tonight and you could say, I went through a tough time and nobody was there. Here's all I can tell you. You've got to be a part of the body of Christ. And you're trusting God. You're trusting God for that comfort. You're trusting God for that care. And yet, God commands that it comes through the body. And so we ought to be that close. And we ought to love each other. And we ought to know each other's business. And I really want you to hear that. Because I've heard people say, I like going to Hillview. There's a lot of people and nobody knows your business. Well, then we haven't done a very good job being the church. Because we ought to love each other. I mean, I love when like somebody will call us immediately when there's a crisis and being able to call somebody and say, I'm so sorry for your loss. And they say, you know, this happened an hour ago. How did you know? Because we're the body. And that's how it should be. And if we were really like that, we wouldn't just be packed on Wednesday night. We'd be packed for three services on Sunday. We could pack out another service because ultimately people want to be loved like that. And so one of our core values, and it's so biblical, is that we are to love and care for people. In James 1:27, he says this, to look after the orphans and the widows, and to be there for them, and to care for them, and to love them. And let me tell you what a beautiful picture of this is. And I can't help but to operate out of this so much. And so sometimes a lot of my ministry has selfish ambition. Let me just tell you what it is. And I'll tell my, you know, it'll be a late night and there's a crisis and there's a call and I'll leave late at night. Me and my wife should be like, you know, do you have to go? And I said, honey, it's going to be us one night. We're going to be sitting in the living room crying and we're going to be sitting in the living room crying and we're going to want people to come and to be here and not to care about the hour and not care about what it may require of them to give. We've got to love like that because we're going to want to be loved like that. And that's what that means, to love and care for people. And I want you to know, I think we do a lot of things great at Hillview, and we probably do this, you know, better than a lot, but we're nowhere near what God wants. That's the kind of body that we should be, that we really love and care for one another. 1 John, just read it over and over. Love one another. Love one another. Care for one another. Love one another. Be there for one another. It's so fun to go to the hospital. And we got a bad reputation as a church at the hospitals, because in those rooms where there are only supposed to be two people, there'd be like nine people. And there's just always a nurse really mad, you know, and I'm always like, that's so horrible. Those people are in there. I'm so sorry. And then she leaves and, you know, and then I go in, you know. But it ought to be like that. We ought to love each other like that. We ought to care for each other like that. I mean, that's what it means. That's what this is about. Respect the vision in those who lead. Hebrews 13:17 says, obey your leaders and submit to their authority. How many of you hate the word submit? I do. I hate it. I hate it. But you know what? We're called to do that. Every one of us. Now, submission gets a bad rap because women think only they're supposed to submit. We're all supposed to submit. Every one of us are supposed to submit to our leaders, to our authorities, because ultimately when we do that, we are submitting to God. So respect the vision in those who lead. And let me remind you, respecting the vision is being a part of it. Respecting the vision is being in it. C3HD, we covered that last week. Be trustworthy. The Bible says, let your yes be yes and your no be no. That means just do what you say you're going to do. Be trustworthy. If you say you're going to work with the preschoolers, then by gosh, be there. Fulfill that commitment. Do what you say you're going to do. That's what this means. Let your yes be yes and your no be no. Be authentic. Can I tell you some awesome news tonight? You were created by an awesome and mighty and holy God. He created you. And He made no mistakes when He created you. There were no accidents. So be who you are. Because God has created you. Be who you are. And don't worry about that. Don't worry what everybody's going to think about that. Because every part of the body is different. And that's the amazing thing about the church. That we come together and yet we're diverse. We're different. We don't all look the same. We don't all act the same. We don't all smell the same. We're different. And God created you. And so be who God created you to be. Don't try to be anybody else. Don't try to act like something you're not. Be who God has created you to be. You are the handiwork of an incredible God. And He loves you. And He cares for you. And it's His desire for you to be a part. Be who you are. Be a part of this body. Man, care for people. Love people. You know, if some of you came to me tonight and say, you know, I'm not serving. I need to do something. You know what? Call the church every day. And say, hey, is there anybody in the hospital I could go see? Is there somebody I could take communion to? Is there some way that I can serve? We had a guy show up Monday and he's like, you know, I want to work. And we're like, well, we don't really have any positions available right now. And he goes, no, I mean, I want to do something. He goes, I'll go vacuum. I'll go clean windows, whatever you want. So he's like here for like 2 hours Monday. It was awesome. We should be that kind of a body. You know, tonight, as we enter into this time of altar, I want to encourage you. Because one of the deepest struggles of church is you can't get everything out of it that God wants you to if you're not putting everything into it that God wants you to. And so God desires us to be in this together and to love each other. And some of you, you are here tonight and you've come hurting. Man, what life has put on your plate right now is heavy. And you're wondering if you can carry this burden alone. Can I just answer that for you? You can't. And God didn't design you to carry this burden alone. He wants to carry it with you. And when you look from Genesis to Revelation, God uses the body of Christ to help carry one another's burdens. And that's what He does. That's what He does. One of the things I prayed about on Wednesday night, and I'll just share this with you. I pray that at our altar time, there's so many of you that I feel like would just love to come to the altar, but for whatever reason, it's just hard for you to step out and to come. And I've just prayed, man, that God would just break open this altar on Wednesday night. Man, it's the middle of the week. So half of you feel like you don't know if you can go on. A lot of you feel like, you know, there's no way I'm going to make it. It's the middle of the week. And I just pray God would break open the altar on Wednesday night. And then people would just come to this altar and pray. And we'd comfort each other. And we'd love each other. And we'd care for one another. And that is fulfilling those things that God has asked us to do as the body of Christ. And so tonight I want you just to pray. And I want you to pray and say, God, of those core values, and I left three off for the sake of time. Of those core values, where am I missing it in the body of Christ? God, where do I need to step it up? Don't tell God how busy you are, because everybody here is busy. Everybody's got a lot going on. So don't say you're too busy, because it's not about what's busy. It's about what's important. And so God has called us in this together. So we're going to pray. This altar is open. And I'm going to ask you just to come to the altar tonight if you feel that you need to do that. And I've just prayed over these chairs today, and I've just prayed for God to impress upon every heart what it is that we need to do. Because we're not a perfect body of Christ. We never will be. But I'll tell you this, church, we can be better than we are. And let's continue to strive for that. Father, we come to you tonight. There are people here tonight, Lord, that are hurting. There are things going on in their lives that nobody knows about. God, I pray that we'd all find out. So that we could offer a hug of encouragement. So we could offer an encouraging word. So that maybe we can offer something that's in need. So God, may every need that's here tonight surface so that the body can find out. And may we love each other. May we walk with each other. May we care for one another the way that you would have us to. Lord, we love you. It's in your name we pray. I'm asking you to stand. The altar is open. I'm asking you to come. And you know the most important thing is that you have a relationship with Jesus Christ. And you know, there's some of you here tonight and you don't have a relationship with Jesus. And as others are coming to pray and you want to talk more about that, or Pastor David or myself, we'd love to pray with you about that. Some of you are still putting off baptism. And we're praying in the month of January for 100 baptisms. You know why 100? I'm not sure why 100, but here's what we know. There are people all over this congregation who are yet to be biblically baptized. Baptism after their conversion. And some are just putting that off. And some say, well, why do that? You know, it's important. Why do that? Because God says to do it. You don't need any other reason. We're trying to be like Jesus. He got baptized. So I'm going to ask you tonight. Some of you just need to come forward tonight and say, you know what? I need to do that. But I'm asking you, just for a few moments, we're going to have altar. You come.